Childhood Learning Finance Committee. First thing we're going to do is approve the minutes. Representative Kranz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've read and I will approve those minutes. Make that motion.
Thank you. Representative Kranz moves approval of the minutes for March 22nd. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are passed. Well, members, this is our last meeting. First of all, I'd like to take House File 1056 off the table. We're going to be discussing our omnibus bill today. I want to start out with thanking people before we get into the bill. First of all, I want to thank the members. Thanks to everyone for their hard work. I think we came out with a good bill, a balanced bill, good investments, and things that will do good things for little kids for a long time. So thank you all for your hard work. I want to thank Representative Eastland as a lead Republican for working with us and continuing to work with us through this meeting and for all his work in particular. And I also want to thank the staff, Sarah Benskoper, Patrick McCormick, Trish Kiefer, Emily Adrian. And Mike. So thank you all. I want to thank the interns, Kari. So thank you for your help. And the pages, I don't know if they're in the room. Thank you for all of your help. So you all helped us get through this year and appreciate you getting us to our final bill. As well as those in the audience that have taken an interest, we appreciate you being here and your help with getting the bill here and giving us some good feedback. We are going to start with amendments, members. We will start with the A32 amendment.
Button.
Who's offering that?
Button on his butt.
I understand Representative Nornes is in another meeting, so his are going to be laid aside. That's a Nornes amendment. Okay. How about 34? A34? Who's offering that amendment? Representative Garofalo?
One second.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you'd like to move on to another moment as a minute as I get situated here, I can come back to you.
A36?
Have you mind?
Okay. Representative Wardlow, A36. Could you explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like...
Actually, Representative Wardlow, you need to move your amendment.
May I move my amendment?
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make an oral amendment to it.
Okay. Representative Wardlow?
And I'd like to, on line 1.7, I'd like to delete $3 million and insert $3,500,000. And on line 1.9, I'd like to delete $3 million and insert $3,500,000. And that way it'll add up to the amount in line 1.16.
Could I ask Mr. McCormick to get back?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that the Representative Wardlow's motion is actually going to be made to a different later amendment to do these. In this case, for this amendment, the numbers on line 1.7 and 1.9 and 1.5 do add up to the number on 1.11. So I don't think this technical correction is necessary for this amendment.
Are we talking about A38?
Representative Wardlow, no, we're on that. A36.
Never mind. I withdraw the amendment.
Okay. The amendment is withdrawn. I have amendment A36.
Yes. Well, see, I'm offering both 36 and 38 if you ever get, if you have
I
to
see.
Do so. And
would you like
my mind
to take
was on
A38
the one that was
first, Representative Wardlow? Should we move to A38?
We
can. Why don't we move to A38? Would you like to move that amendment?
Madam Chair, I move Amendment 838.
Okay, Representative Wardlow moves amendment labeled H-1056 to A38. Does everybody have a copy of it? It's the A38 amendment. Okay, Representative Wardlow, can you speak to your amendment, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, members, this amendment increases the ECFE funding, which is line 4 on your spreadsheet. It increases it by 13.5 million. And it would be enough to raise the formula from 120 per pupil to 140 per pupil per child. And if you were to go back to the 2003 cuts when it went down to $96 per pupil and had a generous increase of 3% for cost of living instead of the lower amount, at 3% per year till to this time, it would the per pupil funding would be at 139 plus per pupil, and so this would do that. And so I'm just bumping up the ECFE per pupil up to $140 per pupil, roughly 139 plus. And what it does, it takes 3 million each is transferred, or 3.5 million each is transferred from AMFIP and the BSF Child Care Assistant Grants. That's lines 62 and 72 on your spreadsheet. It also transfers $786,000 from line 17. That's the kindergarten interest assessments. And that just brings that program back to its forecast base and the governor's recommendation. The funding to decrease BSF waiting lists, that's $2.666 million. That's from line 73 on the spreadsheet. $3 million of the appropriation for child care service grants on line 83 is transferred. And finally, $100,000 from line 87, which is the provider connections. That's all going to the ECF.
Thank you, Representative
Ward. And that's my wish.
Mr. McCormick, do you have...
Madam Chair, this is the amendment where we have a technical correction. On lines 1.7 and again on line 1.9, we're changing the number from $3 million as drafted in the amendment to $3.5 million in each case.
Representative Ward, would you appropriate that amendment?
Call. Yes. Okay. Please, I'd like to roll call, please.
Okay. Representative Wardlow requests a roll call. Any discussion? Representative Gottwald?
Oh, wait. Okay, never mind.
Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Representative Bly?
No.
Representative Eastland?
Yes.
Representative Fritz?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Gottwald?
Yes.
Representative Kranz?
No.
Representative Lane?
No.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Nornes?
Yes.
Representative Peterson?
No.
Representative Ward?
No.
Representative Wardlow?
Yes.
Representative Winkler?
No.
By a vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Representative Wardlow, why don't we take Amendment A36, which is also yours.
Thank you.
Do you move this amendment?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Amendment A36.
Representative Wardlow moves the amendment labeled A36. Does everybody have a copy of the amendment? Mm-hmm. Okay. Representative Wardlow, if you could speak to your amendment.
Madam Chair, members, this amendment increases ECFE funding also by $6.8 million, a lesser amount, and that would be enough to raise the formula from $120 per child to $130 per child. And this time it's just $3 million each transferred from MFIP and basic sliding fee child care assistance grants. Those are lines 62 and 72 again on the spreadsheet. It also again takes $786,000 from line 17. That's the kindergarten interest assessments. And it just brings it back to its forecast base and the governor's recommendation. I know the DFL wants to increase assessments from 10% to 30%. And that's why they increased it by $786,000. But the Department of Education indicates they've been having difficulty reaching 10% in the past, and they think that the 10% would be just an adequate sample. So that's basically my bill.
Thank you. Members, as you know, we've worked hard to put this bill together and feel that it's a good and balanced bill. All those in favor of the amendment, vote aye. Or all those in favor of the amendment, yeah, vote aye.
Madam Chair, could we have a roll call?
Representative Boutwalt requests a roll call. Roll call has been requested. Is there any discussion? Representative Peterson?
I didn't hear which program what you said was not being fulfilled, or what was...
It's going to take...
Wardlow?
Madam Chair. Representative Peterson, it takes $3 million each from the MFIP and the basic sliding fee child care assistance grants. Those are lines 62 and 72. It transfers $786,000 from line 17, kindergarten interest assessments.
Okay. Madam Chair,
Senator Peterson?
We'd all like to put more money in all of these things, but the reality is that this committee didn't get a ton of money. Not nearly what we needed to be able to fulfill the needs. And I think we do have to assure that these different kinds of programs that really deal with different kinds of needs for children are met in some way, and I think this is a very balanced approach that we came up with, so I would continue to support what we have in place. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. And the chair votes no.
Fly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yep.
Gottwalt?
Yes.
Fran?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Nornes?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
By a vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Can we take Representative Graffa? Why don't we take your A34 amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Nornes is here. He has three bills that are amendments that he was going to offer, and maybe he's going to be called out of here to go to another committee, might be.
Representative Nornes, would you like to take up A32? I believe that's yours.
Yes, I would. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This amendment is rather short. It removes the language in this bill that creates a new school readiness board and transfers that appropriation, which is about $86,000, to the after-school community learning grants. One of the reasons, the main reason for offering this amendment is the fact that if this were to stay in the bill, I think it would be appropriate for the bill to move to the GovOps committee because it's creating a board. So I, for that reason, would like to remove it.
Any discussion?
And I'd like a roll call vote, please.
Representative Nornes requests a roll call vote. Any discussion? Well, since this is my provision you're deleting, I'll speak to it just briefly, which is I think this is an important step towards a coordination between the Department of Education and the Department of Human Services to get child care and educational programs coordinated, also to get community folks involved in the process, which is what happens with this bill.
Madam Chair, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but according to the rules, it needs to go to GovOps. So unless you want to, we could make that motion too, but I really think that if we're concerned about following the rules,
Representative Nornes,
even though it's a good idea.
Representative Nornes, we were informed that for omnibus bills, if there are advisory committees in them or new pieces of boards, that they need to be, we need to send a notice to the Rules Committee that we have this in there, which we have done, and we've done that as a procedure, but that omnibus bills do not have to travel through government ops, is our understanding.
Is that a new rule?
Representative Nornis, Mr. Cormack?
Madam Chair, members, that we're talking about Rule 4.12, which requires that if there's a advisory panel or changes to a board in one of the omnibus bills, the chair of the committee that is hearing the omnibus bill sends a letter to the Rules Committee. This was not a new rule. This was a rule in existence prior to this year and continues in this year's rules.
Representative Bryan?
I was just going to speak to that, so that's my understanding, too.
Representative Nornis, you want to, should we proceed with the roll call then?
Yes, please. Okay.
The clerk will call the roll. The chair votes no.
Fly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yep.
Scott Waltz?
Yes.
Kranz?
Nope.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No, thank you.
Nornis?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
By a vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Representative Nornis, can you tell us your other amendments? I'm not sure which numbers they are.
A37.
Okay. Members, the amendment labeled A37. You want to move that amendment, Representative Nornis?
Yes, I move the A37 amendment.
Representative Nornis moves the amendment labeled A37. Everybody have a copy?
And I'd like a roll call also, please.
Representative Nornis requests a roll call. Representative Nornis, could you explain your amendment?
Well, we all are interested in doing more for after-school community type programs, and here's $375,000 that I think could be used for that very worthwhile purpose. Right now, the bill has that amount of money designated for the circular grants for St. Paul, and a second grant for St. Paul. St. Paul is the only community, old city, benefiting from those funds. So I would prefer that that money be used, again, for this after-school community program, and grants then would be available statewide instead of just spending that entire amount of money in one city. That's the bottom line.
Any discussion? Thank you. Representative Gottwald?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I think you might recall when this bill was presented, the circulators in particular, that I had some concerns. Most of the testimony was about grade school and even teenagers using this service, and that it was really more of a transportation infrastructure kind of service rather than an early childhood. This is about buses for one community versus services for early childhood. I do think those dollars could go elsewhere, and so I support the amendment as presented.
Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would ask for support for the bill as it is. As others have mentioned, it is a balanced bill, and let me speak in specific to the two items related to St. Paul. In the course of my short tenure as a legislator, I've learned that every community is different. Different regions of the state have different needs. And in this committee in particular, we've spent a lot of time talking about what are the things that we can do to help families and communities raise their children well. And in St. Paul, the neighborhood circulator, our parks, our rec centers, and our libraries are very, very important tools for this goal. We've talked a lot about the achievement gap. We've talked about a lot about helping parents. And these two provisions for St. Paul are very, very important. And so I'd ask for your support in helping us in St. Paul close the achievement gap for the people on the west side of St. Paul and the east side of St. Paul. Thank you.
Any further discussion, Representative Gottwald?
Madam Chair, I just add briefly that these services are being paid for by other outstate communities by themselves without any support from the state. So it's a fairness issue in my mind.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll. The chair votes no.
Fly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
Yes.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Scott Waltz?
Yes.
Kranz?
Yes.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Nornis?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
Yes.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
By a vote 8-6, the amendment is adopted. Representative Nornes, do you have another amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. A39. And I would also like a roll call, Madam Chair.
Can you move the amendment?
I move the A39 amendment.
Okay. Representative Nornes moves the amendment labeled A39. Does everybody have a copy? It's going to take me just a second here. Okay, A39. Representative Nornes, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Okay. Again, I'll be as brief as I can. This amendment, in the bill, there's a kindergarten entrance assessment portion, and it increases the percentage of kindergarten students being assessed from 10 to 30%. In discussing this with some folks, and in particular the governor's office and the folks who administer these assessments, 30% is a pretty lofty goal, and 10% actually represents pretty good cross-section of these students. So for the sake of $407,000, I would rather transfer that to the ECF accountability, transfer to line 9 for an ECFE accountability system. That's basically it. So it reduces the appropriation by $407,000.
Any discussion? Representative Eastland?
Madam Chair, I guess I think one of the things that I think is important to, and I think I agree with Representative Nornes, is that currently we do a 10% assessment. 30% assessment is still a sample, and I guess what creates a representative sample or a good sample, and from everything that I've read or looked at, 10% gives us that the kind of a sample that we need to know how it's working. If our intent is to go and do all kids, we're really not getting there, and we're spending some extra money that we could use, I think, differently, more effectively, and it wouldn't really change the results that we're going to get from going to the third. So I agree. I think this is a good amendment. And I think the governor did ask for this accountability portion in the in his bill, and the language to put that accountability was in, but the funding was left out. So this is a way to put that funding in, so the governor can follow through, and the department has the revenue to do what they're being asked to do. And I just think it's a good common sense way to use the dollars more efficiently.
Any further discussion? Representative Winkler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to be clear that I think the goal of the kindergarten assessments is not to create a representative sample, but to actually move towards a 100% kindergarten assessments for kids coming into school, so we have a much better idea not only how kids on average across the state are doing, but how each individual kid is doing in the classroom. And we had really good testimony, I thought, about the value of these assessments for teachers in the classroom. So while if we were just looking for a representative sample, 10% might be adequate, that's not really the goal, and that's why not what we're trying to pursue with this bill.
Could I follow up on
that? Representative Eastland?
I understand that that's the goal, but I think the information that we got from the department was that they're having a very difficult time getting to the 10% now, and this still leaves about $300,000 in there to move in the direction of having more kids take the assessment. So I think it's rational, it's reasonable, and it's kind of maintaining the or understanding the situation that we're in terms of how easy it is to accomplish this. But I think more importantly, it accomplishes another goal, which is really important, which is the accountability piece that the governor was trying to do with ECFE. So I think I just think it's a better use of funds, and in the long run, it's going to get us to the same place.
Just a quick comment. I think. And Representative McClure articulated well why assessments are important and getting more kids assessed. And, we just thought maybe the department could, do a little belt tightening and maybe do that ECF, the accountability, without the extra funding, because sometimes we all have to do what we have to do. So I think that was the thought behind that one. Roll call has been requested. Chair votes no. The clerk will take the roll.
Fly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Frick?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Fran?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
Nope.
Dornis?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
On a vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Members, the next amendment we will be taking up is A34. Representative Garofalo, is that your amendment? Representative Dornis, did we finish all of yours?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move the A34 amendment and request a roll call on it. Madam Chair, members, two provisions in this amendment. I'll explain both of them. The first is the absent day policy with regards to those on the MFEP child care assistance and the basic sliding fee child care assistance. Currently under statute, we are allowed to, state law allows us to reimburse providers for up to 35 days if they are gone. There are provisions in the bill that would allow, that would expand this at a cost of approximately $410,000. I take money from there and I put it into the adult basic education aid system. About a, if you base it off of the previous session's funding estimate, it's about a half percentage increase in it. The motivation for putting the money there versus other programs, I was considering our visit that we took on University Avenue down at the, what was the, Madam Chair, what was the name of that facility?
The Hub Center.
The Hub Center. And I remember the, especially the new citizens to the country and their enthusiasm and their passion for the country and patriotism. And I think, again, given this choice of spending money, reimbursing child care providers for child care assistance they're not providing versus expanding a program, I would prefer the latter rather than the former and would ask for member support.
Representative Garofalo moves the amendment labeled A34. I think everybody has a copy. He's spoken to the amendment. Is there any discussion? Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I recall, I'm very pleased that we did add more money already to the adult basic ed because I think it is important. But I think it's important also to be able to keep our daycare or child care providers in business and doing what they do best. And this is something that they really felt was very important for them.
Any further discussion? A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Fly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Britt?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Cran?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
Nope.
Dornis?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Ward?
No.
Winkler?
No.
The vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Members, the amendment A40. Whose amendment is that?
40, I guess that's mine.
4-0?
Yep, A40.
Representative Eastland, do you want to move your amendment?
Yep, I will move the A40 amendment. Ask for roll call.
Representative Eastland moves the amendment labeled A40. Hopefully everybody has a copy of that. He also requests a roll call. Representative Eastland, would you like to discuss your amendment?
Yeah, I've got to make sure I remember which one this is, no? Okay, this deals with the federal
development fund. There's child care dollars that come to the state from the federal government, and there's a portion of those that can be used for quality. I believe it's around $5.6 million, if I'm not mistaken, that typically the I think back in 97, I think the legislature took some jurisdiction over those numbers, but I think typically the department uses the jurisdiction to use those dollars. And I guess what this bill does is it takes those dollars, $5 million of those dollars, and transfers the money from the basic sliding fee care to some child care assistance grants, and takes the child care assistance grants dollars and puts it into the scholarship program. So what we're doing is we're putting $3 million into the governor's early childhood scholarship program. We're putting $1 million into the outstate grant program. We're putting $1 million into the hub grant program, and we're getting those dollars from the federal dollars that come in, basically, what it amounts to is we're adding $5 million to the package, and so I guess that's really the bill. I think it's helping us put more money into the school readiness, closing the achievement gap side of this bill, which I think is where we're short of funds. And so, I did run this by the department to see if this use of that funds was appropriate, and they told me that it was. So I think that's kind of where I am. That's the information I know about it. So,
Representative Eastland, I would like to ask the department to discuss whether this money can be used for this purpose, if they could approach. So you talked to the department, and they said you could use the $5 million.
Actually, I talked to Karen Carlson.
Karen Carlson, okay. I think it's the other department that works with this money, but we'll see. Welcome to the committee. If you could tell us about the child care development funds and if they can be used and in this kind of manner.
Madam Chair, I'm Karen Carlson from the Department of Education. Actually, this money is over at the Department of Human Services, as you know. The $5.6 million that Representative Eastland referred to is what we used to call, and kind of colloquially call, the quality set-aside dollars. And so the anything would be appropriate to be used for the quality dollars if it improved quality. And that's what I can say. Sheree could probably tell you more details, but if it improves quality in child care settings, it can be used.
Thank you. I would also like to hear from the Department of Human Services. Welcome to the committee. You can state your name for the record.
My name is Sheree Kotelnik, and I work with the Child Care Assistance Program at the Department of Human Services.
Jeff Swenson-Katt with the Department of Human Services Child Development Services.
Ms. Kotelnik, could you tell us your interpretation of this amendment and if these funds can be used in this manner?
Well, the Child Care Development Fund has some broad funding parameters that Ms. Carlson is right, it can be used for quality and availability, and it can be used for direct services. It appears as though this bill is taking funds, federal funds that are currently being spent on quality and availability projects, infrastructure development for the child care programs, and redirecting that to scholarships by sending it through the child care assistance program and freeing up state dollars. So it's possible that it could be used for scholarships. We haven't really evaluated this in our department. And Deb could tell you about the kinds of things that money is currently being spent for.
Ms. Klatt-Swenson. Did I get it right? Swenson-Klatt.
Swenson-Klatt. Madam Chair, members of the committee. If you might think back to the program overviews that we provided to the committee at the beginning of the session, child care quality funding from the federal child care development fund is used currently to support four priority areas. Child care quality supports for providers in the forms of grants and loans to providers to improve quality, Childcare supports for family, friend, and neighbor caregivers. The funding supports our childcare resource and referral system in Minnesota, which of course helps parents find childcare and also provides training to childcare providers. The total federal funding, total federal and state funding, is $11 million annually. 1.5 of that is state general fund money. So $5 million of federal dollars would in shifted over to scholarship programs would significantly reduce our ability to support the child care resource and referral system primarily in its dual or multiple roles of supporting parent referral, grants to providers, and training.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Ma'am.
Representative Eastland?
If you could ask one more question while you're there. How much money comes in from the federal government that this is the larger pool that this is a portion of? How much money comes in?
For quality?
Yes,
quality.
No, how much money comes in the whole pool? And then I think 4% or 5% is the quality 4% portion. 4% but how much?
If you could go for through the chair, please. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
I'm Jenny Harris, Department of Human Services. The department currently receives about $77.8 million annually in CCDF federal funds. That amount can change a little bit year to year.
Any further discussion? Thank you. Roll call has been requested. Representative Peterson.
Just to make a comment, it seems like what we're doing is trading scholarships for quality, and I think I want quality in those daycare programs. So anyway, just a comment.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, a roll call has been requested on Amendment A40. The clerk will take a roll. The chair votes no.
Sly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Kranz?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Nornes?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
And a vote of 5-9, the amendment fails. Members, there's a similar amendment. I'm not sure whose it is. A33.
Probably mine too.
That's similar. Whose amendment is A33?
It's my amendment, and Madam Chair, and it is the same amendment. It moves the money differently, but it basically does the same thing. I know the outcome, so I'll withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Representative Eastland withdraws Amendment A33. A35? Representative Garofalo, is that your amendment?
Yes, and Madam Chair, I'd move the A35 amendment.
Representative Garofalo moves Amendment A35. Does everybody have a copy? Who's getting a copy? Representative Garofalo, could you tell us about your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, what this does is right now a portion of the TANF money that we refinanced, this is categorized as one-time money. Rather than have it be used as part of the basic sliding fee program, I would like to put it over into a program that is defined as a one-time use, and that is the Governor's Scholarship Program. Again, when I look at the tails on the bill right now, I think our tails are kind of screwed up already. One of the motivations for this is try to straighten it out just a little bit and would ask for members' support.
Okay. Is there any discussion to A35? Representative Eastland?
Madam Chair, I think the... A number of the amendments that are being offered are putting money into the Governor's Scholarship Fund. I think it should be said, just for the record, that the governor proposed $28 million in the scholarship fund. A much larger portion of the target was under his bill was directed at the early learning issues and closing the achievement gap. And so this is one small way we can actually just put a little bit more money in there and get to that $5 million number, which is kind of the number that I kept hearing from his office that he would really like to have into that bill, into our bill, so that he could have a little more meaningful sample in the scholarship program he's proposing. So I just would encourage members to support the bill and put a little bit more money into the early learning part of this bill. Or amendment, pardon me.
Any further discussion? The numbers, as you might know, in our final version of our bill, we have $2.5 million in the bill for rural pilot program, which is very similar to the scholarship program working through MELF. We have $2.5 million in for the governor's scholarship program also. So there's a total of $5 million, but it's split out between both a rural and then the governor's scholarship program. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I won't even ask for a roll call on it. I just hope that I can get my friends on the other side of the aisle to support the amendment.
Okay. Representative Garofalo, with that, all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is not adopted. About A39. Whose amendment is A39?
Oh, we did that one.
We did that
one. We did that one? Okay. A41. Representative Eastland, is that yours?
Yep.
Would you like to move your amendment?
Madam Chair, I would like to move the A41 amendment.
Okay. Representative Eastland moves the amendment labeled A41. Hopefully everybody has a copy of that. Representative Eastland, would you like to explain your amendment?
Madam Chair, yeah, I think this goes to the same comment that I just made, is that what... We have proposed a bill, our bill, which does some good things. I mean, I'm not suggesting that our bill doesn't do some good things. It does some good things, but we can disagree on the priorities and how money is spent. But I think really the number of dollars that are in the governor's scholarship program are really inadequate. I believe that was really the centerpiece of his bill, and it was something that we just really underfunded. And so I guess what I'm suggesting is that we take some of the other things that competed for those funds that I know there's people in this committee that support very much and own very much because it was their ideas. But I guess I personally support the scholarship program that the governor had in place. I think it did the things that we believe are important in this committee. It targets the resources at the most vulnerable, and it does the things that I think this committee said should be done for early childhood learning. So I'm just proposing we take those dollars that went to the other sources and we compile them into the governor's program and increase the scholarship program.
Any discussion? Representative Peterson?
Madam Chair and Representative Eastland, now you picked on these early childhood hubs and you looked right at me, so I do think those hubs are very important. And it was interesting, we were over at the university talking to a group of about 200 educators, early childhood folks, and that was about five of us here. And we had actually one of our own down here. Representative Wardlow also was there. But afterwards, it was interesting because I did talk a bit about the hubs and how important I thought they were in terms of coordinating, consolidating, communicating within communities about early childhood and trying to get communities to react like the Grand Rapids have with the Blandon Foundation monies, and that we have to be doing that in every kind of community. And afterwards, former Mayor Frazier, and who I know has worked with Governor Quay in early childhood, came up and he said, that idea is wonderful. And, you know, he said, I've been working in early childhood for years, and that concept we've tried time and time again to put forth. And he said, it's now a reality, and at least a piece of legislation and some pilots to see if we can't really get that kind of buy-in from local communities. And so, you know, I'm pretty passionate about these hubs, and so I am going to vote against this particular amendment.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Representative Eastland?
And I appreciate, I mean, I would feel the same way if I was the author of your bill. But I guess my point was not that your bill is a bad bill, but that I think what we started with at the beginning of the session was wanting to do something significant for early childhood, something significant. And the governor gave us the lead and did that with $28 million put into a scholarship program, and we've pared it down to a few pilot programs. And I think that's really not enough. And so I would like to see us take the money that we do have and put it into a program so that we at least have one program that is significant. And that isn't to say that there isn't some merits to what you're suggesting, but I think our priorities have been to put money more into the daycare side of this equation, and I'd like to encourage us to get as much bang for the buck as we can out of our early childhood programs that we're trying to support and initiate here. And I think the governor's program has the best opportunity to do that. So I encourage your support. I want to ask for a roll call now.
Thank you. Representative Gottwald.
Madam Chair and members, thank you. I'll be brief. You know, we had such a warm response to the initiative foundations that came in to the point where Chair Slawik literally said, gosh, I wish we had something like this in the Twin Cities. And these are grassroots community-based hubs that already exist and have come up with some very innovative approaches to early childhood learning that are embraced by the community on a public-private partnership basis. I've also had a chance to talk with some people from the school districts I represent who are very concerned about taking on yet another responsibility and having to find more space in their already limited physical space buildings and staffing requirements and those sorts of things. So there are not only concerns about the hubs, but concerns that we may already have the model and maybe that's where the money should go. So I don't know if I'm going to change members' minds or not, but and I respect what you're trying to do, Representative Peterson, with your bill, but that's why I would speak in favor of the amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One final comment. I actually think that if we have the governor's scholarships, we would need hubs even more, because we would need that kind of information and communication process available to parents and to others who are using this. And so I think, you know, with MELP working with scholarships, we will have some scholarships available. And obviously, not every community is going to be able to get these hub grants. It's going to be very competitive because we only have, what, five of them? Or not very many anyway. And I think that there will be a lot of communities who will be very interested in doing this or at least trying it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, one more brief
Representative Eastland?
Brief comment that I neglected to mention. I think another component of the bill that I think why I think it's a better direction than to use a model that is many different kinds of experiments. I think this takes one model and it puts resources kind of equally into the metro and into the outstate areas, and that's what we're trying to do as well, so we don't get models that sprinkle services all over the place, so some get lots of services and some get none. And that's another important component of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to represent the outstate as well so that outstate communities can access half of these grants.
All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is not adopted. A43. I have an amendment labeled A43. Who's offering this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move the A43 amendment.
Representative Gottwald moves the A43 amendment. Does everybody have a copy of the amendment? Representative Gottwald, if you could explain your amendment.
Madam Chair, I know this was Representative Murphy's bill, and with all due respect to the author's intent, I think there are concerns, certainly I have some of them, about public funding and then public control and public regulation moving into an area where we have not had it before, and then also some of the discussion we've been having about priorities and where we're focusing our dollars. I think these monies could be used elsewhere. And again, you see that we're moving $1.5 million from line 86 over to line 7, the governor's scholarship program. And so I would ask member support on this amendment.
Is there any discussion? Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As I said before, I think different communities and different families choose to raise their kids in different ways. And one of the things that I have been most impressed with this committee about is that we have tried to find where those families and kids are and bring quality child care to those places. So we're not trying to neglect any one segment. Family, friend, and neighbor child care is the most utilized form of child care in Minnesota. And if we're serious about closing the achievement gap and if we're serious about helping families, I think this is an important provision. So I would ask you to defeat the amendment.
Representative Cram.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
To that point, I just think that we, spent the better part of 3 months trying to find the silver bullet for early ed, and I don't believe it's out there. And we've had testimony that the governor's plan is probably maybe the one thing that we should be supporting, and I don't think that we can honestly say that that is the final end-all, be it. And so I think we need to definitely consider all the options that are out there, and I think every one of us has people in our communities who use family, friend, and neighbor for their daycare, and so I'm encouraged and anticipating what we find from these different grants that are out there, so I encourage support for this.
Representative Patwell.
Madam Chair, briefly, and members, this bill in particular puts an awful lot of money into child care, and recognize that emphasis, but that too is not the silver bullet. We talked a lot in this committee, especially early on, about achievement and what accomplishes the greatest amount of achievement. Child care is handled in many different venues. I'm not convinced that that's the place we should be putting our resources, and I think that's true of some other members on the committee as well. I'm not going to go so far as to say we're only putting money into babysitting, but when we talk about early childhood achievement programs, both that we heard in testimony and that we've seen proposed in other legislation, child care should be one component, but maybe not to the extent that it is in this bill.
Members, I think that from my perspective, we need to remember that I think it's over 72%, that's correct, of Minnesota moms with kids under age 6 are working, and child care is a reality for many families. And hopefully, because they're in child care, we can make that the highest quality possible. Representative Eastland?
Make a comment to that, Madam Chair. I think I think we all realize that, but I think kind of the missing piece there is that a child could be in child care or they could be in an early learning preschool program. Either way, they're in a program. And what we're doing is we're making sure that most of them are going to a child care program, which many of them are very good and do some early learning things. But what we're doing is we're reducing the number of options that some of those parents have to provide other kinds of services for their kids that could help them be more ready for school and close that achievement gap.
Representative Groffel?
Yes, Madam Chair, you hit the nail on the head. We should be putting money in the programs to help those parents that have their kids in daycare for in child care programs. And that's why this committee should have adopted the A34 amendment, where when I offered that amendment, right now under current law, a person is allowed to have 1 full month of their child being absent from daycare facilities. They're gone for that's the existing law. And now what we've done is we've actually expanded that to the cost of over $400,000 to not allow those programs. So maybe perhaps if I refashion my A34 amendment, and I keep the money in the MFIP and basic sliding fee programs, maybe some agreement with the chair on that. Maybe we can make that happen today?
I don't think so. But nice try. Representative Lane, and then Representative Gottwald.
Well, he touched a nerve with me here when he called it babysitting. The foundation for academic learning is not academic learning. Foundation for academic learning in the early years is quality care, interactive care, baking bread together, doing things together, interacting in life. That's the foundation for academic learning. We should not put the early years into any kind of educational program because it is a it's wrong for development that the children are going through. And if we don't think that the early years are more than babysitting, we have a lot to learn on this committee, and I think we know that.
Representative Gottwald.
Madam Chair, Representative Lane, as long as we're touching on sensitive points, I said I wasn't going to use that term, and I threw it out anyway, and I apologize for that because I realize child care is not just babysitting. But this is the whole point of what we're talking about here, people. We throw a ton of emphasis in this bill on child care. I did the math in the spreadsheet. We've got, just as a starting point, in 08-09, as a starting point, we're adding another $100 million before what this bill does to child care. So we already have some incredible support in that area already, and some of us are suggesting we need to put limited resources into other areas. Furthermore, child care is the place where it happens, and it's already happening in many great and marvelous ways. And what we're seeing is that kids in the early years of school, we heard lots of testimony on this, are in fact doing pretty darn good. It's in the middle school years and high school years where we see achievement falling off. And my concern is that we put too much emphasis on government now funding and controlling what child care options there are out there. I don't want to get into a lengthy debate about it because we did that during our couple of months of hearings and testimony, but that's the perspective that I'm offering here with this and with some others. And I would again urge members' support for the amendment.
All those in favor? Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the child care, it begins sometimes at 2 weeks and 4 weeks old, and they're placed in many times family, friend, or neighbor, licensed or unlicensed, because parents want stability, and very often when they put them in daycare centers or child care centers that are big, and they feel they don't get the personal attention, maybe not the stability because maybe the staff turns over a lot. So we've got many of our very young children, before they're ready for the academic years, I'd say from birth through three, are in those family, friend, and neighbors, and we do need to assure that those people who work with those children day in and day out get the kind of resources they need to improve what they're doing, because there are too many of our families that are dependent on those situations for taking care of their children. And I say that I have my 4-year-old granddaughter has been in a licensed child care placement for the 4 years of her career, and she does go to a preschool now too, but it has been a wonderful situation, and I know that particular child care person does avail herself of some of the opportunities for professional development and all the other things that are available. But you know, it really is important that we have these situations available. They're there where they're going to be used, and we need to assure that that those people can do the job as well as we would like them to, and support them.
Representative Gottwald?
Madam Chair and members, I speak from the perspective of a father of 5 kids, including early childhood, and I have used child care and am living that experience. And what I found is that when parents take the role of first educators and shop around sufficiently, there are plenty of quality child care opportunities out there. I've never lacked any for my children. I can certainly see it for low-income people who need help. I've always advocated for the targeted approach. But this assumption that the state has to inject money to create quality child care options, I think, is a bit absurd. There are many out there already.
Representative Eastland? Remember, members, we'll also be having some discussion on the overall bill as well. Representative Eastland?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try and keep it brief. The discussion is good, and it's similar to what we've had earlier, but I think we're getting at a point that I think is important that we distinguish, and that is that child care has a huge constituency out there, and young children, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years old, they're in our child care system, but so are 4-year-olds. 4-year-olds are in our child care system. And the question is it more appropriate that those 4-year-olds are in our child care system or that they are in a preschool early learning situation where they're going to be more prepared for kindergarten? And I think that's the question. I mean, there's a certain number of kids here that should be beyond the child care system, and so I think that's where we're kind of heading here.
Representative Peterson.
Madam Chair, at the risk of taking any more time, I cannot resist, because my 4-year-old pre-kindergarten program for everybody in the state was a wonderful program. It didn't get placed in this particular bill, but I'm glad to see that you're willing to support it, because that would be available for everyone. And the problem was it cost us a little too much money, but I have some ideas for the next session about how we can deal with that. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. And I will simply say the governor had a wonderful scholarship program that he had $28 million in that went to all over the state that would have provided those kind of services for 4-year-olds that we could have supported and included in this bill.
That will be voting on the A43 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Representative Winkler?
Madam Chair, I would like to move reconsideration of the A37 amendment.
Representative Winkler moves reconsideration of the A37 amendment. Representative Winkler. I believe that was Representative Murphy's, or regarding provisions of hers, it was actually Representative Norris's amendment. Is there any discussion?
We have a roll call on the reconsideration.
Roll call has been called for the reconsideration of Amendment A-37. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll on A-37. The chair votes no.
Why?
Excuse me, are we voting on whether or not to reconsider?
Yes. Okay. Not on the amendment. Okay. We don't do a roll call on reconsideration.
Mr. Chair, roll call can be requested on reconsideration.
No, okay. Okay, roll call on the reconsideration. The chair votes aye.
Bly?
Aye.
Eastland?
No.
Fritz?
Yes.
Garofalo? Scott Wolt?
No.
Cram?
No.
Lane?
Aye.
Murphy?
Yes.
Dornis? Peterson?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Wardlow?
No.
Winkler?
Yes.
On a vote of 8-4, the amendment is up for reconsideration. And now we'd like to discuss Amendment A-37, Representative Gottwald.
Madam Chair, I'll speak once again in favor of this. You know, we've been having a good conversation here this afternoon, members, about where our priorities should be, and we've talked about child care, and we've talked about scholarships and grants. And this comes from my heart. I sense there was some support for this around the table. Some of our members have had to leave for other things, and so now this is coming back up in hopes that we have a little different number situation. The basics don't change, though. Many other communities in our state would love to have this kind of money for circulators and buses and things, and are paying for this out of their own pockets. To provide funding only for these kinds of purposes that are only tangentially early childhood dollars, I think is patently unfair. And this money could certainly be used for early childhood programs, whether it be child care or scholarships or whatever else we're doing, that impact the entire state, that really try to bring all children along in our state. And so, again, I would argue in favor of the original amendment.
See no further discussion.
And, Madam Chair, I'd ask for a roll call.
Representative Gottwald requests a roll call. In discussion, Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just think the bus is a great idea, the circulator, but I think St. Paul should pay for the bus and not the whole state of Minnesota.
See no further discussion. The clerk will take the roll on Amendment A-37. The chair votes no.
Bly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
Yes.
Garofalo? Gottwald?
Yes.
Cram?
Yes.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Norris? Peterson?
No.
Ward?
Yes.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
On a tie vote of 6-6, the amendment is not adopted. Amendment A-42. Whose amendment is A-42?
It's my amendment.
Representative Gottwald, would you like to move your amendment?
Madam Chair, I'll move Amendment A-42.
Representative Gottwald moves amendment labeled A-42. Does everybody have a copy of A-42? Representative Gottwald, would you like to explain your amendment?
Madam Chair, in essence, this basically says And we're not moving any money around here, members. This is simply saying that if we're going to give state dollars to an organization like MELF to create state policy, if you will, that they ought to be compliant with open meeting laws. It's simply a matter of transparency. I feel fairly strongly about this. I think many of the people I've talked with since we had that original debate do as well. This doesn't change what they're doing. It doesn't change the money going to them for what they're doing. It simply says that you'll comply with state open meeting laws. And I think that allows for transparency and public involvement in the process. And I don't think any of us are against that. So I would hope you'd be favorable to this amendment. And I'd ask for your support, members. I also ask for a roll call vote.
Representative Gottwald requests a roll call on E42. Any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, clerk will take a roll on A42. The chair votes no.
Bly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Kranz?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Nornes?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
On a vote of 4-9, the amendment is not adopted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gottwald.
Madam Chair, I would move reconsideration of the A37 amendment.
Representative Gottwald moves reconsideration of the A37 amendment.
Madam Chair, I withdraw the motion.
The motion is withdrawn. I think that we only have two left, members, A31 and A9. Is that right, Representative Eastland? A31? So it's going to take A31. Yep, A31 and then A9. So whose amendment is A31?
That's mine.
Representative Eastland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A31 amendment.
Okay. Representative Eastland moves amendment A31. Does everyone have a copy of A31? Representative Eastland, could you tell us about your amendment?
The amendment basically acknowledges the fact that there's quite a bit of professional development and training money in the bill for various things. And what this amendment does is it just takes $500,000 of that money and makes sure that it's going to be available to causes other than child care, and it makes it available primarily to some school-based staff. So I think it just broadens the use of some of the child development money so it could be used for early childhood staff people as well as daycare people. So.
And discussion? All those in favor?
I'll request a roll call. I'd like to hear yes or no.
Representative.
You're getting creative now.
Eastland. Request a roll call on Amendment A31. Clerk will call the roll on A31. The chair votes no.
Bly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Cram?
Nope.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Norna? Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
On a vote of 4-9, the amendment is not adopted. Last amendment, members A9. Members, I remember we adjourn at 3:45. I know that people also want to discuss the overall bill, so we'll have some comments on the bill in general after this amendment. Representative Gottwald, is that your amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the A9 amendment and ask for a roll call vote.
Representative Gottwald moves the amendment labeled A9. Does everybody have a copy of A9? A roll call has also been requested. Representative Gottwald, can you explain your amendment?
Madam Chair and members, I actually offered this amendment as a bill, which was introduced. Hearing request was made. My understanding was that Chairman Mariani was unable to work it into the hearing schedule, so it did not get a hearing. But the purpose of the bill is nonetheless important, and it simply allows parents with conscientiously held beliefs to opt out of the early childhood screening. This leaves the control where it belongs. You've heard me talk rather passionately from time to time about parental engagement, parental involvement, and parental control as the first teachers of their kids. And I think giving people the option is what we're talking about here. And I don't think this damages the whole intent of early childhood screening, but to give people the opt-out, I think, is the right of the parents and ought to be left with them. And so I'd encourage your support for this amendment.
Is there any discussion? Representative Wyatt?
Maybe Mr. McCormick could help, but is there a provision for this already in law?
Mr. McCormick?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, in law currently, Chapter 121.817, sub 3, paragraph E, allows for the exact language here allows for a conscientiously held belief of a parent or guardian to be a grounds for refusal screening. What this provision does is requires the school board to inform each resident family that they have that right. So just to be clear, in current law, there is the right to refuse screening. This requires that be something that each family is informed by the school board.
Representative Gottwald?
Madam Chair, members, I appreciate that clarification. Again, the philosophy is the same, but the people ought to know what their rights are.
Representative Grothwell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I would really strongly support encourage members to support the Gottwald Amendment. Now, this is, am I correct in saying, I think it's getting a nod of the head, there's no fiscal impact to this provision. This really is, this is comfort language, members. I would really strongly encourage members to support it. Thank you.
Representative Eastland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Representative Gottwald, except I think it's far more than comfort language, because what's written in law and what people, I mean, how many things are written in law that we don't know and we don't understand? And I think many, many people, when they are given notice that their screens are happening and they're told by people that they need to have their kids screened, I think people are not aware that they have the opt-out option. And I think this just really clarifies the situation so that people are given all the information and they understand what their rights are. I mean, I think it's common sense, and I think it is the least we can do to really respect the right of parents who are the primary caretakers of their kids.
See no further discussion. The clerk roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Bly?
No.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Cran?
No.
Lane?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Hornes? Peterson?
No.
Ward?
No.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler?
No.
On a vote of 4-9, the amendment fails. Members, I'd like to talk about the bill and take a vote by about 3:45. If you want to talk about the bill, you need to let Sarah know so we can get you on the list, or Trish. You know, I feel a little bit like a coach that it was the last game, and part of me is really proud of the committee, and part of me thinking that we have a long way to go in terms of what we're doing for kids. I think that we started out this year with four goals: close the achievement gap, or get closer to that, provide more quality child care experiences, get more citizen engagement, and increase innovative efforts. And for those things, we have done this. In this bill, we do this. I think the most prominent piece of this bill is House File 5, which is Representative Bly's bill. In terms of closing the achievement gap, it both increases funding to school readiness, it restores it to 2003 levels, and for the Head Start program. I know Representative Kranz had a very similar bill. Representative Fritz had a bill on part of that for ECFE. for providing more quality child care experiences. I know maybe the school readiness board was almost amended out, but I think that moves us towards that, towards trying to get kids and both in education and child care. And in my mind, they're transferable, working towards those kinds of experiences. Also, in terms of professional development, we've heard from the advocates in the audience, we've heard from our child care providers that professional development is the best way to help kids have a quality child care experience. Whether it's mom or grandma or a family friend and neighbor provider or a child care center or a preschool, it's the adults that are making the difference with the kids. And we know that that learning gap is starting as early as age 3. For citizen engagement, I think we did a good job, committee, you know, by going out and visiting New Horizons and being able to see child care firsthand, seeing the innovative program with St. Paul Schools that they're doing. We even played bingo, as we remember, way back at the beginning of session with the kids. We also went out and saw ABE and heard from new immigrants and how important that issue is to them. So we got more people involved. We had an advocates day where we met all the advocates day, and we had a citizens day where we had citizens come in. So I think we've really tried to reach out to the public. And we have increased our innovative efforts. And I know some of the members are going to talk about their efforts, but Representative Peterson and her Hubs idea, I think, is something really innovative that we can move the system ahead. There are people on this committee that wanted more. We want the system to move quicker. We want it to move faster. We want it to be better for kids. But we can't push it any faster here at the legislature. This is a slow place. And you know, just like I know, when our bill came out, we got two kinds of headlines. We had the Pioneer Press that said early learning gets a boost, and we had the Star Tribune that said early childhood left off the bus. So kind of, you know, we don't want to be happy or to be sad in this committee, but I think, I'm hoping, we all feel like we've worked hard, and the product that we've come up with is good, and it's good for kids, and it's good for families. At least that's how I feel. Do we have a ways to go? We do. Do we need to talk more about, you know, Representative Gottwald and parental engagement? We still need to talk more about that and have your subcommittee working group meeting. Representative Peterson has a systems group. We still need to, we have a long way to go in terms of making this a system and working on that. On the ideas of early care versus child care versus the role of parents and families, there's a lot of work to do. So, as you know, these are biennial committees. We're going to be back here next year, probably not with a lot of work, but we'll be having some hearings in the interim. And so I'm hope, along with K-12 and E-12 policy, that we can work with those committees and get their message out there and still look at the types of things we can do here at the legislature to help families and to continue to close the achievement gap, to continue to provide more quality child care experiences, to get more citizen engagement, to increase innovation. Now, I think we've worked hard. I think this is a good bill. I hope you're all going to vote for it. And I thank you for your efforts. So with that, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was very excited about being on this committee. It was my number one choice. I've spent a career in education, as most of you know, early childhood through higher ed, actually, but certainly through the high school years. And I've come to the conclusion that this is where the action has to be. We need to assure that all of our students from birth on have the kinds of opportunities to be ready for school. So I've been very excited about the committee. I had hoped we could do more, but I think we've had really good discussions. I've learned a lot. There were many of these programs I had very little information about. I learned a great deal about that. I learned about the different funding streams. I'm still convinced it's a very fragmented system. And I do think that we have to look at this whole thing as a system and try to find a way to get our hands around it, to coordinate it, and to assure quality. We know there are going to be many different kinds of programs, but we also need to find ways to know that all of those programs are treating our children and helping them well and helping them to learn in the way that they should. And so, you know, with that, I'm just going to say that I think this is a very good bill, and I'm very proud of it, and hope that we can work very hard in the interim on some of these issues that I think are so important to all of us in the state of Minnesota.
Also, I need to take a moment and thank Trish Kiefer for the cookies today. So, did everybody enjoy the cookies? Give her a hand. So, thank you for those, for nutrition, for our, I think it was 14 roll calls, something like that. Representative Bly.
Yes, I want to begin by thanking Chair Slawik for her leadership in this. I really appreciate working with you, and it's been an honor to work on this issue. Also, I want to thank the staff who was ready to help with all kinds of issues, from the legislative research into our own research people. Bills I worked on, they were tirelessly helpful, and it was great to work with them. I really appreciate that. I got interested in this issue as a teacher in an at-risk program for older students, high school-age students, and also some of them, teen moms, and seeing the issues they had as they brought their children into the system again, and wanting to assure that we could work towards kind of having closing that loop so that those children, of the children I was working with, got a very good start. That got me thinking about how even with the students I was working with at an older age, had there been intervention or had there been help for them at an earlier age, how much better that would be. That's something that I thought about for many years. And in the program that I worked in, we worked very closely with, just because of where we were, with Head Start, and I saw what happened to them in the years, really starting with the Ventura governorship, cuts to their program and the ability that they could reach students and reach families in our community, and I became very concerned about the direction that we were going in, moving away from providing things for child care and for early childhood. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to be here, to see if we could do something about that, and why I was very anxious to bring forward House File 5. I think there are priorities that we've heard about. It's been a very good discussion. I want to thank all members for contributing to that. But for me, what's foremost in my mind is that before we can really think about something as experimental as the scholarship program, we need to make sure we have a base out there, that we reinstate the programs that have worked hard and we know can do good work. And I think once we've really brought them up to a place where they can really do what we know they can, I would feel more comfortable with more experimentation in things like the scholarship program. I felt very uncomfortable moving in that direction too quickly. And for me, it's kind of an unproven experiment. So that's why I would take a cautious approach, and I'm very thankful with the leadership of Chair Slawik in this direction.
Thank you, and thank you for your leadership as Vice Chair. I know you had to jump in several times and kind of last minute, so very much appreciate that. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The comments about early childhood, I think, have been very strong. I'd also like to thank particularly the members of the Republican Party on this committee. So far in all the committees I've served on, there's come a time when everybody takes off the smiles and puts on the party mask, Ronald Reagan and FDR or something. And I don't think that's happened here, and I think it's a testament that there's really much more that we all agree on, especially in this committee, than what we would disagree on, and that our interest in finding some consensus on these issues has really been pretty well done here, I think. So I thank you for that. My bill was the Adult Basic Education Bill, and there's been a lot of discussion about that today already on the immigrants who are looking to improve English, their English, or improve their skills in the workforce, and that's true. But ABE is also an early childhood bill, because we know that the number one determining factor for how well a student is going to do in school is the education level of the mother. And so if we can, whatever we can do to increase education achievement levels for parents, we know will benefit children. It's also an economic bill, in that workforce development issues are a challenge, and employers identify the lack of skilled workers as the number one barrier to growth. So I think that's been very essential. And I'm very pleased with the level of support that ABE had in this bill, and the amount of support I've heard around the committee, because I think all of us recognize that all those messages that we try to send about improving yourself, working your way up by your bootstraps, making the best life you can and passing it on to your children are pretty meaningless unless those real opportunities for educational advancement are present. And I really thank you for your help and support on ABE, because I think it really puts some substance behind that message and is a critical part of this committee's work.
Thank you. Representative Kranz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I started out working on this committee as a high school teacher, and I have summed it all up into three terms. One, exciting. Two, very interesting, and three, incredibly frustrating. On the first hand, as an educator, a high school teacher, I'm very familiar with diversity, both economic diversity, cultural diversity, diverse learners, learning styles, all that stuff. Everything from public education, private schools, homeschools in the mix. We have different programs that meet the needs of all of our kids. So I came in with the idea, or I was really excited to try to find a solution. I saw this early education area as very multifaceted, and I was hoping to come here and solve all the problems for early education and find one system that worked. And I've come to the conclusion that there isn't one system that works. There are, within the early learning area, there are even more facets than in our K-12 education system. And so in some cases that's exciting, in some cases it's challenging. I'll add another term there. The second part for me was the interest. It was very interesting to find out all these things that are out there. I think we as educators always look one level below. High school teachers, what's going on in the middle school? Middle school teachers, what's going on in the elementaries? And elementaries just want those kids coming in ready to go. And so it was very interesting to find out the number of programs, the services, the things that are out there for kids at the early level, and I think we just have the challenge of trying to find ways to fund choice, to fund true choice for all of our families and provide the mechanisms for them to learn in the best way that they need. And the third, Madam Chair, was frustrating. Man, you know, I think we've come a long way in the restorations, and I think that we are showing, I would even argue some will throw around definitions, but I think this is, you know, fiscally moderate position where we took some money and we provided some of the needs, but no way do I think we, everybody on the committee agrees that we met the entire need right now, but we took a step in the right direction, and I think that that's, you know, a clear statement that we can all, you know, take back to our constituents that we recognize the need, we heard about the need, and we are looking forward to taking steps that we can't take it all in one bite. Thank you.
We have a couple more members. We're going to try to kind of wrap up, but as people can give their final comments, and then we'll take our final vote. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to thank you and all of the members here for great work for our children and families. And as a grandmother of 17 grandchildren, believe me, and when I got married, I was one of those moms that stayed home to raise her children and loved every minute of it. And then as I got older, I couldn't wait to go to work. So I now see, and my children and grandchildren all have needs for child care. And in many different areas, it's, some have the early childhood, some take them to their other grandmother and then other friends and family. So I do know the need, and really what really hooked me on this and why I wanted to be on this committee is because of the early childhood facility in Faribault that's been there over 20 years, and I visited there and saw the great work and the amount of need in that facility and all those dedicated people working there, and met with grandparents, parents, and the children. And so this is definitely a family area, and I'm very happy to have served on it and done some good things for our children and their families. So thank you all.
Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that time is running short. I know that one paper said the glass is half full and the other paper said the glass is half empty. I know a lot of people think we should have had more money in this bill for early childhood, and some say there's quite enough. I'm just looking from the perspective that the awareness level from the beginning of the session to now of the need for early childhood has really risen, and part of that, a large part, is due to the focus it gets from this committee, because it's a special interest committee here that didn't used to exist for a while. I always wondered why we didn't have this committee, but I campaigned on this issue, and I asked to be on this committee. I'd like to see more money go to ECFE, and my two amendments said that, but I'm still, I'll vote for this bill because I think it's that important. I just know that there's, some people think the money should have been distributed differently, but the glass is half full, and the awareness is rising, and it'll continue to rise as people become aware of the need for early childhood.
Thank you, and thank you for your work also. The Early Childhood Readathon is coming up. You want to mention that is April 24th?
Yes.
25th. Okay, we have Representative Lane, Eastland, and Gottwald. Lane?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just need to say that as a representative of Gottwald, I too have five children. We are now quite grown. But I always said I was privileged to stay home with them. And that was a very clear privilege. But it's not the reality today. That's why it's a privilege. And it's also, I also feel privileged to have been on this committee. We did what is important in all learning experiences. We had the experiences going out to different things. We had the discussion. And then we took some actions. And we did that under focused leadership, which presented it that way for us and moved it along in a disciplined fashion. All those elements are important in any learning experience. So thank you. And I think we all wish we had more money, but we did a balanced bill with what we had. The two things I look for is developmentally sound and proven effectiveness. And I think we chose programs that had that. That was our priority. Head Start, ECFE, fine-tuning programs, expanding them because they had that. My personal concern I just want to throw out here around things that are allowances or scholarships that aren't full is just that. They're not full funding. You get a contribution towards something, and the parents, the families, the children that really need the support in the early years still can't get there. I think we need to attend to that fact that it's only partial pay, and also we need to get the infrastructure up. We need to figure out how to do this, how to get quality programs going in early childhood care across the board, get those listed, named, the quality parameters around them, and then we can discuss how we can go in further along that way because, again, developmentally sound and proven effectiveness.
Okay, we have two more, Representative Eastland, Representative Gottwald, and then we will take our vote. I know K-12 is starting to come into the room.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd first like to just thank the Chair and thank the other members of the committee as well. And obviously, this is a process. We all know it's a process, and we probably knew the outcome of the day before we came, but the exercise is part of what we do here. But I appreciate the input that each of the new members have given, and we get a chance to get to know you and work with you and understand your priorities and your values, and I think that's part of what we need to be doing here to find that common ground that we can move ahead on and do something that's productive and good for the state. I think the one thing that I want to do is I just want to go up a little bit and take a higher elevation look and explain maybe some of my concerns about the bill and kind of what I think it does and where I think it leads us that I think is important to talk about and consider. If you have your spreadsheets, if you look on line 62 and line 72, at the first two columns, what we see is we see the forecast coming into this biennium that we're in right now, and we see the forecast for the biennium that we're going to be entering into in 08. And if you look at what's happening in MFIP, in this biennium it was $81 million. In the next biennium, it's $145 million. That's without us doing anything. It increased $65 million. Basic sliding fee, if you go down to line 72, this biennium that we're in is $44 million. The next biennium, it's $83 million, almost $40 million. There's $100 million more that are being spent this next biennium than they did in the last biennium in child care before we even did one thing in this committee. And yet what we did in our committee, especially after we got the TANF target, we pushed more and more dollars into child care. And I guess that was what concerned me, and that's what concerned my caucus. And I think what we tried to do today was to get as much of that money that's on the Department of Human Service side of our bill over onto the education side of our bill. Because once this bill leaves this place, that side of the budget goes to the Department of Human Services, and they can do whatever they want with it. We may never see it again. And so my point is that had we been able to take some of those dollars, put them into some early childhood programs that were on the education side of our bill, they would stay in education. and we'd be guaranteed that they were going to produce the way we have all, I think, hoped they would produce in our committee. So that's my concern. I think, and I don't fault anybody for having different priorities and doing different things. That's the way the process works. But I think that's one place that I believe this bill falls very, very short. I think we could be doing a lot more for the early childhood learning, for reducing or for closing the education gap, the achievement gap, and really getting some of the programs that our early learners need to help them be ready for kindergarten. And I think we're very, very short in that regard, and I'd hope we'd do better. But this is a product that we've come to in compromise, and I think we have to do the best we can, and we go on from here. So we've created a position for negotiations with the Senate, and we hope that we can come back with something as good or better. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thanks for your leadership as well. Representative Gottwald.
Madam Chair, I'll be brief. There's nothing wrong with a minority report in these circumstances, and I too want to thank the Chair and committee members. I know we were all working in our own way for what we felt was best for early childhood, and that's certainly why I'm here, and I'm sure it's why all of you are here as well. I guess I represent a perspective that suggests government has an important but limited role to play, and get concerned when we're putting more and more government into some of these things, and to acknowledge that the most important influence in early childhood learning is not child care settings, but the parent. You know, the education of the mother and the involvement of parents really determines more so than anything else whether you're a stay-at-home mom or somebody who's working full-time. That parental engagement piece and building on some of the models that were out there, which is why I was so supportive of the scholarship pieces of this, I would respectfully disagree with Representative Bois, who suggests that we had a lot of untested things out there. The scholarships, I think, could have actually gone to support many things we heard about that are working and are working because they respect that kind of partnership between government and parents. We have a lot of work left to do, and I look forward to working with all of you on it. And would have hoped we put a little more money into ECFE and ABE simply because it is the parents and adults in these kids' lives that are most important in their achievement, and that's what we're focused on. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, I just want to remind you, this bill will be split. It's Article 1 and Article 2. It will go to the Finance, first to Mary Murphy's Committee, then to the Finance Committee, where when K-12 comes through, their education article will be added, and when Health and Human Services bill comes through, the child care bill will be added to that. Representative Bly?
I call for roll call.
Representative Bly calls for a roll call. Representative Garofalo.
I wasn't going to comment, but since we're having a roll call on it, I feel I have to explain my vote on the matter. So my apologies. But, Madam Chair, first of all, I want to thank you for your work on this. And I know I won't ask the chair this question, but it'll be a rhetorical comment to people. Is that with regards to the budget target that this committee has, the general fund target pretty much aligns with what the governor had. It takes about $1.9 million above the governor's rec. And in a world of limited resources, I think that's an acceptable number. However, outside of this world, outside of this universe, outside of this committee, there are other proposals out there. And those proposals are to, I will use a generous term, to raise revenues, to change laws to create revenues, by $800 million. And I don't understand how members of the party opposite can identify early childhood as a top priority when the fact of the matter is, of those $800 million in tax increases, not one nickel came to this committee. So on one side, I guess the real side of my brain says this is appropriate. On the other side, it says that, well, if we're going to live in this world of $800 million tax increases, early childhood should get at least $1 from it. So, Madam Chair, I am going to vote for this bill today. However, I did want to address those concerns since there was a roll call requested. Thank you.
Representative Garofalo and members, I think there will be a long and lengthy discussion to come on that topic. The Chair moves that House File 1056 be recommended to pass as amended to the Education, Finance, and Economic Competitiveness Division. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Bly?
Aye.
Eastland?
Yes.
Fritz?
Yes.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Gottwald?
No.
Kranz?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Murphy?
Yes.
Nornes? Peterson?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Winkler.
Yes.
On a vote of 12-1, House File 1056 is passed. Members, the Early Childhood Learning Finance Committee is adjourned.
Thank you.